You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Welcome to Finishing Well with Certified Financial Planner Hans Scheil. Today, sort of a fun show. We're calling it Life Insurance Windbags. You might wonder where we get that. Well, you might be familiar in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. It actually says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And it kind of comes from, you know, there was this moment in the Garden of Eden where actually, you know, Eve had a choice to eat from the tree of life or to eat from the tree of knowledge. And so you may have known some people like this that have eaten from the tree of knowledge, and it doesn't take long, and they begin to sound a bit like a windbag, right, John?
Well, yeah.
I should say.
Yeah. Well, we really, we don't really want to call out any certain people, but where this comes into my business is there's many people on the radio and in print and in the news media that are so-called consumer activists or consumer-friendly people, and they're really many times calling life insurance really a bad proposition and calling the people that sell life insurance, you know, bad people.
Clowns, actually.
Yeah.
In some cases. But, yeah, you know, the fascinating thing to me is that, you know, here's something that obviously, you know, I can think of two or three people in my life that, oh my goodness, I wish that they had listened to somebody that was offering them life. And it's interesting that, you know, the tree of life insurance.
Sure.
but had they actually eaten from that tree to some extent and planned for something for their family, you know, it would have made a huge difference, One of the really, really sad things that's going on in my life right now, and you know this, Hans, is I have a dear friend, and he got some information from a talking head that said, you know, if you get rid of all your assets, then you can get into a nursing home, you know, on Medicaid, just FREE free. And so, you know, he went about making all his assets go away, so that, and of course, he didn't buy any life insurance and he didn't buy any long term care insurance because he was going to get this free. Unfortunately,
for free Medicaid.
Yeah, and I went to visit him 2 weeks ago, and I wish you could have seen this free Medicaid nursing home that he was in. I mean, they literally had him on the ground. The cushion was on the ground, but so that he wouldn't fall, he was in nothing but a diaper. He hadn't been changed in I don't know how many hours, and three times while I was there, I tried to get a nurse to come back to change him, and he, you know, it was just unbelievable. I called his daughter to talk to her, and if you could have heard her cry and scream about the, you know, the care that he's in as a result of, you know, wow, if somebody had told him, and I knew he had the money 3 years ago to buy a, you know, some type of a life insurance policy that would have had a...
Who'd he give the money to, her?
A different bunch of kids, right.
Yeah. So she was one of them.
Yeah, she was one of them. And, you know, some of the grandkids and another one of the daughters.
And they just spent all the money.
Right. The money got gone, and there he is.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, my grandmother used to talk about the poorhouse.
Right.
You know, you don't want to go to the poorhouse, or this is going to put us in the poorhouse. Or did you have the same experience?
Yeah.
And so I've always wondered, is the poorhouse really a place? And so we did a little research on that, and the poorhouse used to be a place. I mean, there was a place in a lot of counties called the poorhouse, and that's where people went when they were out of money. And I think that the poorhouse in the modern day is the homeless shelter, and it's a Medicaid nursing home where there's a certain minimum level, at least in our society, we don't have people in the streets, or we don't have so there's some minimum level of care that's offered by all of us, which is society, And you've gotten a kind of a sad look at what that minimum level of care is. It's called Medicaid.
And there were people that he listened to that when you think about it, you know, this person that you're listening to that supposedly has this information about the way to handle this part of your life, because as we talked about before the show, Hans, that this is you're coming in for a landing here. We want to finish well, you know, and we don't want our family to be suffering, because, you know, it's one thing, he's suffering, but his family is really, really, really suffering. And so I don't know that he ever, that was a thought that crossed his mind was, wow, if I go into this type of care, it really hurts your family.
So what these windbags are telling people is stay away from whole life insurance, cash value life insurance, and buy term insurance. And if you got money to invest, put it somewhere else. Because this whole life insurance is bad, and it's really sold by clowns. And you just want to stay away from it. And it's actually, when it's not framed so negatively as I just did, there's parts of that that are good advice. I mean, if you're young and in debt and you have a family and you're married, or even if you're single, buying some term insurance is smart. Buying a lot of term insurance is smart because it's inexpensive and it's going to end or go way up 20 or 30 years from now. But that's the least of your problems right now when you're young and in debt. It's just if something happens and you die, your family is not going to be left in a lurch. So we're all for, and we sell lots of term insurance to people when it's appropriate. Now, there's another piece of that whole argument that is just flawed. It's just when your house is paid for and you're at retirement and you don't need any life insurance.
Yeah, your kids are out of the house, graduated from college.
Which is kind of like describing you and I right now, right?
Yeah, it would terrify me, you know, to not, because Tammy would be in a tough way if I didn't have life insurance. I just can't even imagine.
Well, yeah, but they're not telling you this. They're telling this to your kids.
Right.
You know, is that don't buy whole life insurance. And for somebody that can't afford it, I'm all for it. But I just, if you listen to the words, term life versus whole life. And what whole life means is it's going to be in force and there for you for your whole life. Term life insurance is going to be in effect for the term. And if you wait to die until after the term, the policy's not going to pay off.
Right. And so I find it fascinating that when people talk about finances, this is a place where it seems like windbags abound. Like, and honestly, in my opinion, religion is where windbags abound. People that, you know, can rattle off chapter and verse on all sorts of things, but how much do they actually seek for the life that's inside of that? And it's the same thing in the financial realm, that there's a lot of stuff that can be studied and understood about that, but then, you know, selecting somebody to help you with it that really has your life at hand rather than trying to show that they know a lot.
Well, yeah, and if I get back to the windbags, which, you know, a lot of times you've just listened to one part of their show or somebody else has listened to them, or maybe they're not on this subject every week, but generally, there's a whole bunch of folks out there that just stay away from whole life. Don't buy that. Save your money elsewhere. And there's some problems in that message, and there's some truth in it as well. I think it's, you know, it's appropriate, but there's little pieces of that, and one of them is, which comes right into our realm, is you don't need life insurance in retirement, which you may not need as much life insurance. You may not be able to afford as much life insurance, but just to say you're not going to need it is out there somewhere.
But the other interesting thing I found about that, when you really study some wealthy people's portfolios, is sure, they didn't need life insurance. But they were using life insurance as an investment strategy that was brilliant.
Right?
Because they got with somebody that really knew what they were doing.
Well, just recently, we have had I mean, I think the number's up to about 10 CPAs that I can identify that have become clients, and they've come to us or come into our world mainly from Medicare. I mean, we're experts at Medicare, and we do a lot of marketing around that and marketing our expertise. And so it's just kind of natural we're going to bring some CPAs into our world. And then we invariably start talking about the tax effect of Medicare and Social Security. And so they just kind of come right into our whole deal. And we've had some of these CPAs buy extremely large life insurance policies, which are really designed for the investment effect. But even though they're designed for that, these policies may be paying off on some of this husband and wife. Both have life insurance. I mean, they may die sooner than they think. And so they're buying life insurance for the death benefit. But the logic behind the whole thing is we're managing their money too. So they've decided they're going to use us for that. And they've got large amounts of money. And we're helping them meet their objectives. And somewhere in there, they've decided to make a substantial play in life insurance. And when we get a CPA that's seeing the wisdom in this, that's one of the reasons I'm talking about it today, is even though this is substantial, when you bring this down to the real world, which is most of us that just have a little bit of savings put together and a Social Security check, it makes just as much sense for us as it did for them to have some amount of life insurance that's going to be in effect on the day you die.
Which has a lot to do with actually just sitting down and planning, taking a look at what's it going to look like when I die for my family? What's it going to look like if I go into long-term care needs, those kind of things. But today's chapter that we're talking about is life insurance, as you might have guessed, which you can find in the book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement. You can go to cardinalguide.com and click on that tab under the Seven Worries tab, get the whole chapter on life insurance, absolutely, you know, no charge. You can just download it right there from your computer or, you know, email Hans.
Send me an email on our website at cardinalguide.com, and my associate, Mackenzie, will send you out a book. All you got to do is ask for it. Give us your address, and we'll send you out the paper book. We can email you the digital book, and we're not going to charge you anything.
You know, again, the idea being that this is just a subject very much worth discussing today, life insurance windbags. So we'll be right back with our own version of windbagging when we come back. Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans' aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com. Welcome back to Finishing Well with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. Today's show is life insurance windbags, which the idea being, again, from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where, you know, Paul pointed out that, you know, knowledge puffs up and love builds up. And the idea being, are we going to eat at the tree of life? Especially when we're talking about from the Bible, you know, are we going to eat at the tree of life, where knowledge is something that's actually intimate? It's a beautiful thing when you think about it, that to know somebody biblically is to, like, you could have a baby. So we're talking about intimacy. And I think that it's a completely appropriate thing that true knowledge from somebody that's trying to help you is a very intimate thing. And it's sacred, right? When you're talking about somebody's last days on this earth, how their family's going to be taken care of and all this stuff. I mean, this isn't something that anybody needs to look at lightly. I mean, this is my family, and they're going to need this situation. And what is this going to look like? And doesn't this, you know, just in my own mind, take a priority in my life that I really need to take a long, hard look at it with somebody who knows what they're doing?
Well, and I don't think that these windbags have evil intent at all. I mean, they're trying to do good, just like as we're trying to do good. And I think that they just basically don't understand all the implications of this, okay? And it's just, to me, life insurance is only good if it's in force on the day you die,
right? Okay?
I mean, it just, because if it's something that ended years ago because you couldn't afford it or because it was term insurance and they wouldn't let you have it, and then you die later, it's of no good to anybody. And the flip side of that is it's a miracle that people have this life insurance, and when they die, there's this large check, and it's going to be large to somebody, even if it's just $10,000, made out to a beneficiary, and that money gets settled very, very quickly from the life insurance company, and it doesn't have anything to do with the will. It completely bypasses probate. And so it's a way that you can provide for necessary money for your family or your spouse or your kids, even with simple things like burying you and paying for a funeral and paying the attorney to settle things, giving some running money. I mean, if they're going to have your house is still standing and it needs to be dealt with, somebody's got to pay the bills there. Somebody's got to pay the power bill and the water bill and pay somebody to mow the lawn and that kind of thing. Life insurance just creates that immediate sum of money for the beneficiary to do what they find is necessary. Now,
in your book, it points out that that's since 1926.
Yeah.
Know? So, I mean, it's pretty cool.
So you got this. I put this in my book where I looked for the oldest tax return I could find. And I was really looking for how long this has been in the tax law. And I think it was before this 1926 tax return that's on page 94 and 95 of my book. And it has the instructions for filing your tax return are part of the tax return back in 1926.
So for the good old days, they could fit it all on a page.
They could fit it all. Well, it's two pages, but yeah, that's it. And so it says items exempt from tax, and it said amounts rendered under a life insurance contract paid by reason of the death of the insured. So, you know, what I was looking for is, I know that in today's day and time, and for the whole time I've been in the business, which is 43 years, when a beneficiary gets a settlement or they get a check from a life insurance policy, there's no taxes due on that. And so just about a month ago, I'm sitting with a CPA and I'm telling him this. He's like, "You're kidding me." And I'm looking at him like, "You're kidding me. I mean, you're a CPA and you've been one for your whole life and you didn't know this simple basic fact that's been in the tax code for years." And it's just, now it makes sense, is that most people die when they're real old and they're not going to be calling their CPA up when they get this check for $300,000. I mean, it's just, and he's not going to be sitting there at the table with them or them coming to him with advice. He did not know that. Then I surveyed a couple other CPAs that I have as clients, and I said, you know, I was kind of coy about it. Tell me the tax effects. You know, I just, you know, when somebody gets a life, I acted like I didn't know, and I'm telling you, they didn't know either. So this is kind of a...
And then they were wanting to know, well, what's the cap?
Yeah, well then, when this second guy, when I got him there, and I said, well, I just want to tell you, they are exempt. I do know. And it's totally exempt. And he said, well, what's the cap? There's got to be a cap. Now he flipped all the way over to the other side. I said, there is no cap. As much life insurance as the company will sell you. That's the cap. And then this gentleman just bought on he and his wife in excess of $1 million worth of whole life insurance. And he bought the most expensive policy we could write on them. And you say, well, why would you want to do that if you're a CPA? Why wouldn't you want to shop around and get the least expensive policy? Well, I can tell you why. Because he wants to stuff as much money as he can in there into this $1 million policy. And you're going to do that by going to the most conservative, most expensive life insurance policy you can get, which we found for him from a mutual insurance company.
But to clarify that, for the listener, the expensive doesn't mean expensive in fees. What you're talking about is you're paying these premiums in order to pump money into the policy to make
right. We want it the largest premium.
Right.
So you know, or we certainly want to pick from among the large, because he wants to stuff the most amount of money that he can get in there.
Right.
And see, when you have a mutual company, they credit it back in dividends. So they use these real conservative assumptions as far as interest and as far as the life insurance charges or predicting the amount of people that are going to die. They make those as conservative as they can, and that makes the premium high. I got a CPA buying this now, I want to just tell you. And then they have this dividend history. So then they credit it back in dividends. And so he has a safety net there that if he wants to get to this money, he can get at it tax-free. So it's both a tax shelter and it's just a darn good investment.
Yeah, and for the average guy like me, who obviously isn't trying to stick, you know, even $100,000, but you know, one of the hybrid things to this is I don't want to end up like my friend on the floor with my family just brokenhearted. Is that you can put a rider in there, right?
Well, for he bought this instead of long-term care insurance because now they both have this $1 million that's there of death benefit, which he can access early if he needs long-term care. So if either one of them needs long-term care, and that's tax-free early, by the way. So they're probably not going to need $200,000 a year to pay for long-term care, but they could get $200,000 for 5 years out of this policy, tax-free. So maybe they only need $100,000, so they're going to only take $100,000. But so just that's another benefit of life insurance and the modern policies is they can replace long-term care insurance where you can access your death benefit while you're still living to pay for costs of long-term care.
Right, which gets back to this, you know, intimacy from my standpoint of like, wow, here comes this part in your life that it seems to me really is well worth the time to go, what is it going to look like if Tammy goes down? What is it going to look like if Robbie goes down? What does it look like if Tammy dies? What does it look like if Robbie dies? What does it look like, you know, and what steps are in place and what forms are in place and all those things? And do you want to talk about that with somebody that you don't really know well? I mean, it just, you know, that's pretty intimate stuff.
Well, yeah, and you want somebody who's a fiduciary that has your best interests at heart. So what I want to accomplish on this show is to give you perhaps an alternative opinion that don't believe everything you hear in the sense that there's some very worthy causes, you know, or needs for life insurance, and there's some policies that perform extremely well, and these can be brought down for the common person, you know, a couple of $100 a month stuffed into a life insurance policy is wonderful. And there's people that use their minimum distributions out of their life insurance out of their IRA to stuff it into life insurance and to pay a life insurance policy that they buy at 65, 70 years old. There's great options out there.
Yeah, because here you've got this, you've got to take this money out of your IRA or the taxes. I mean, you're going to get this huge penalty.
And people that say they don't need it, they don't need the money, well, okay, well, then you want to save it. Where do you save it? And how do you get the return? You stuff it into life insurance is one option. And then that life insurance can give you both a long-term care benefit. It can give you a death benefit to pass on to your heirs tax-free. And it can also be cash value available to you if you want to withdraw it out during your lifetime. You could get into your 80s and for some reason need money, and it's been accumulating tax deferred there. There's all kinds of options. Opinion. If you want to call me up and talk to me, I'll be glad individually to see if one of these is suitable for you, and then perhaps to give you some more information on the subject.
But also, you know, from my standpoint, I mean, wouldn't you really like them to sit down with you and go, you know, what's the end of my life going to look like, and how can we plan this out, Han, so it makes sense for my family?
That's exactly what our objective is. It's not to sell you a life insurance policy or an annuity or to manage your money or to sell you a Medicare supplement. We want to look at the whole thing and try to prepare for good outcomes if bad things happen to you.
Yeah, that's why the name of the show is Finishing Well, in case you had wondered. Where did they come up with that name? Well, the idea is that, oh, wow, you know, there's all sorts of implications to the kingdom for these things. And what does that look like for your church? And what does it look like for the ministries that you're involved in or that you've supported over the years? So, again, we're so excited you tuned in today. All this information, of course, is available in Hans's book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement. It's there at cardinalguide.com. Don't forget the guide after the cardinal and put .com, and then you'll see the 7 Worries tab. You can get the PDF absolutely free, or the book, email Hans. You know, find a way to get connected, because this would be time and things that really will help, you know, actually for your posterity, for generations.
Well, go to our website and look around, cardinalguide.com. You can even listen to the show through the website. So if you want to listen to it on your own time.
Or you can go back to iTunes and subscribe, you know, to the Finishing Well podcast, listen to past episodes. All that information's out there absolutely free. Because, again, it is your heart. It has been ever since I've known you to get this information out there, because we just don't want to see somebody else lying on the floor where that didn't have to be. I mean, you know, that our family is suffering, you know, as a result of that. It's just hard stuff. Well, thank you for listening.
Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to CardinalGuide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's CardinalGuide.com. CardinalGuide.com.